welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. On this episode, Andrew McDermid catches up with Dr. Stephen Meyer to clarify two important points raised during his recent discussion with Alex Barazow of Real Clear Science on The Michael Medved Show. If you missed the debate, go to darwinsdoubt.com and click on the YouTube channel link. Barazow uses developmental Hox genes and the research of Richard Lenski as examples of the creative power of the mutation selection Darwinian mechanism. Here, Meyer points out that although Hox genes can produce changes in an organism during development, the changes are usually deleterious and are expressed after body plan formation has already been established. Meyer also clarifies the results of Richard Lenski's E. coli long-term evolution experiment, showing that even the modest change in function reported by the experiment does not diminish the problem of the origin of information as detailed in his best-selling book, Darwin's Doubt.
I'm here with Dr. Stephen Meyer, who was on the Michael Medved Show a few days ago for a discussion with Alex Barazow, editor of science news aggregator website Real Clear Science. Steve, you had some fans on Facebook who had questions about some of the content from that segment. Would you like to clarify a few points today?
It was a terrific discussion. I hadn't met Alex before. He's a really bright guy, very friendly. He defines himself as a theistic evolutionist, but was in some ways a lot more open to some of the criticisms of Darwinian theory than I would have expected, and was just a real delight to talk to. Alex, at the end of the first segment, argued that the evolutionary process can generate a great deal of new innovation as a result of very minor mutations in genes that are known as Hox genes or regulatory genes that coordinate the function of many other genes. So a small mutational change in a Hox or regulatory gene, he argued, can generate large-scale innovation in form. That is partially true. We've seen Hox mutations, for example, produce fruit flies with an extra pair of wings. Unfortunately, the fruit flies can no longer fly. They lose balancing structures called halteres, and the double wings don't have the right musculature for the fruit flies to be able to fly, which is makes the mutation a deleterious or harmful mutation. An even deeper point, however, is that Hox genes are not expressed until the body plan has already been established in different animals. So mutating a Hox gene isn't going to change a whole animal body plan or body architecture. It's happening too late in the developmental trajectory. So the Cambrian explosion raises the key question of the origin of body plans, and regulatory mutations or Hox mutations are occurring too late in the developmental trajectory of animals to actually provide an explanation for where a new body plan would come from. So that's an important point of clarification, I think, and one which actually reinforces the argument of Darwin's doubt.
Steve, were there other technical details in the discussion that you'd like to elaborate on?
Well, there was another interesting point that Alex made late in the conversation. He pointed to the work of Richard Lenski at Michigan State in his long-term evolution experiments on populations of bacteria as evidence for the ability of the mutation selection mechanism to generate new functions. And that's true. The mutation selection mechanism does sometimes generate modest new functions, especially in populations of bacteria. But the function that Lenski's experiment observed, the new function that arose in his experiment, did not take place because of the generation of new genetic information. Instead, it arose because a repressor protein and the gene that codes for it was broken, allowing a function to be expressed that was there all along. And that's not an example of the creation of new genetic information. It's actually the demonstration of something getting broken and the organism making use of that in a way that gives it something of a survival advantage. The story, as reported in The New Scientist, was this, that the biggest evolutionary shift in Lenski's experiment occurred after about 31,000 generations, when in one line of the 12 populations of bacteria, there was the emergence of the ability to feed on citrate. Now, that's the way that the experiment was reported, that this capacity to feed on citrate in the bugs arose. But that wasn't even the whole of the story. It was really only the ability to feed on citrate under oxic conditions where oxygen was present that arose. So that was the new function. It wasn't the ability to feed on citrate itself. And even that only occurred, again, because of a repressor gene being broken, which allowed a particular protein called an anti-porter protein to be expressed. And that allowed the citrate to cross the membrane and enter the cell and then allow the bug to feed on it. So it was a very modest alteration in a pre-existing function, and it only occurred because of the breaking of a repressor gene and its protein product, not because of the creation of new genetic information. So Lenski's, bottom line, Lenski's long-term evolution experiments don't demonstrate the capacity to generate new information, rather simply that sometimes organisms will express latent capacity when their regulatory systems are broken.
So the reporting on this made it sound a lot more than it actually was.
Made it sound a lot more consequential than it really was. And with respect to the key question of the origin of genetic information, which is the question addressed in Darwin's Doubt, it has really nothing to say. It doesn't refute the argument of the book. And I'm not sure that was what Alex was attempting to do by citing this experiment, but it certainly was not something that refutes the main argument of the book.
Modern evolutionists often claim there is no debate over Darwin's theory of origins. A brand new book proves them wrong. On July 21st, Discovery Institute Press will publish Debating Darwin's Doubt, the scientific controversy that can no longer be denied. Debating Darwin's Doubt documents the intense controversy sparked by Stephen Meyer's groundbreaking bestseller, Darwin's Doubt, The Explosive Origin of Animal Life and the Case for Intelligent Design. Now, top ID scholars respond to Meyer's most challenging critics, from sources ranging from The New Yorker and National Review up to America's most prestigious journal of scientific research, Science. Among the book's 44 chapters are 10 by Stephen Meyer, including responses that have not been published anywhere else before now. Other authors include William Dembski, Douglas Axe, Ann Gager, David Berlinski, and Casey Luskin. Debating Darwin's Doubt is available online at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. For more information, visit discovery.org.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.